You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine right, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
Woo, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Lots to get to here in the final hour. We got a bag of Mike's Plums. The last edition of Plums until next March?
Yeah, we vowed not to do Plums this week, but then it was Mike, and we thought, we haven't had a Mike Plums in a while.
Yeah, I'm curious what's in that bag.
We can let football come this weekend, and then next week when we preview all the games,
yeah,
we won't do Plums.
Yeah. So we'll do that coming up. We're hoping to have our Popeye's Taste Challenge here in the final hour of the show.
I'm getting real hungry.
I know, I am too. I brought like a lighter lunch. You texted me this morning, hey, you want a Popeye sandwich? I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. Wait. Brought a lighter lunch than I normally do. And now I'm all like, man, waiting on this sandwich here.
I got to give you a lot of credit. You brought a lunch still, even though it's lighter? Because I think I text you. What time did I text you? 9?
You texted me like 9, something, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I still brought, yeah.
I'm jealous because I don't have any. I didn't need anything.
That's on you. Must be nice to be skinny.
No, it's not. I'm actually really hungry.
I also want to get to this. Did you see what Hugh Jackson said?
Oh, I missed the Hugh Jackson comment.
He's back in the news now. There was a piece that was done on him. Also, speaking of Sports Illustrated, I believe Greg Bishop did a big, like, kind of expose, not expose, but where's Hugh Jackson at now kind of thing.
Just going to ask you, is he coaching?
I actually don't know. That wasn't the part of the story that I was interested in. I was more interested in him talking about his tenure in Cleveland. And he had this to say about, so he was 3-36-1 in Cleveland. That was his record as the head coach, 3-36-1 from 2016 to 2018, including the 0-16 year in 2017.
Was there a coach that you've ever seen on TV more than Hugh Jackson, who acted like he had been a Super Bowl winning coach, had only won like one game ever?
Are you sure you should be this confident right now? He told Greg Bishop about his dismal record in Cleveland, quote, let's be honest, right now, that's what's on my tombstone.
Wow. That's it's kind of depressing.
He also, his wife was talked to in about this story and where he was. And she said at home after he got fired, he called, said, I just got fired, came home, went down to the basement, turned off the lights in the guest room in their basement. And he stayed there for 3 days.
Jeez Louise.
He was quoted in the article saying, I could have laid there for months.
Look, being fired. And
that's
not
depression.
Yeah.
To a T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got paid millions even after you were fired.
Did you not see it coming?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of my where
you
I'm
were
coming
3-36-1.
Well, I bet you said it the best. He was the most confident guy for a bad head coach you've ever seen, right?
Ever. I mean, he was like, no, I'm the coach. This is how we're doing it. It's like, but you suck.
I bet you this. I bet you this was a lot of fake it till you make it kind of stuff. Because he knew he wasn't doing well, so he was like, I got to be confident.
Let's
to at least
put the bravado out there of what.
As Dirt said, positive thoughts breed positive results.
That's right. That's
it
right.
It didn't for him. And I bet you when he was fired, all of that wall and the facade came crumbling down, and he was like, oh my God, I'm the worst coach ever.
He
so he probably
it.
Got depressed.
It all sunk in.
Yeah, look.
Laying in a dark room for days
that's
and doing
not
nothing,
good.
That's depression to a T.
No, yeah, that is depression by doing that. But I guess to Dirt's point, like, how are you this surprised that you got canned? And then my thing is like, what are most people, like most people, your fear of being fired is what? It's financial security,
sure.
Right?
Where do you find another job?
I got a mortgage. Will I get another job? How's unemployment going to go?
Yeah, kids, are they going to be okay?
Kids. Yeah. How about this part of it? Feeling like a little bit of a failure to a certain extent. Like, hey, you're not good enough to keep a job. You know, all of that rings true with me, with probably you, Mike, a lot of people. If I told you, Mike, you're pretty bad at what you do, but I'm still paying you $3 million and I let you go. Are you going home?
Yeah, I mean, you're disappointed, I think, because you weren't able to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. You're realizing maybe that's your last chance to be a head coach in the NFL, because why on God's green earth would anybody hire Hugh Jackson to be a head coach again?
NFL teams have made weirder decisions.
That is true.
Name it.
Jeff Fisher was hired for a long time.
But Jeff Fisher went to a Super Bowl.
He did. That is
that
true.
That guy won three games.
That is true. valid point.
He won one game in 2 years.
But he landed another gig like a month later. Like he was Hugh Jackson. He was back in coaching a month later.
Oh, that was Marvin Lewis doing him a favor and probably propping his name up a little bit. Like, hey, you should still hire this dude.
Yeah, I was saying, but your career's not. That's what I'm saying.
He was also invited
to
go be on national television. And I'm assuming they paid him a few bucks, flew him out there. Like, it wasn't like he got fired and then he had no options in his life.
Yeah, he said the pain still hurts every day. I failed tremendously. So it sounds like most of the depression that he was hit just came with his, like, he realized that was it. It's over.
But it's not.
As a head coach in the NFL, it's likely over.
Could he be a head coach in college?
I think it had more to do with the failure side of it, right? What I'm saying. He had that facade of being so confident that when that goes away because you don't have the job anymore, all of that realization is going to hit you. Like, I suck. Mm-hmm. And I failed. And that's depressing.
that's and especially if it's something you love. And it's like, hey, you love doing this, right? Yeah, I love it. Well, you're not very good at it. You're
not going to have this job anymore.
Yeah, you've lost that job. But guys like him... I think guys like him, the NFL might be all you've ever dreamed, but man, if you love football, you really love football and you love coaching and teaching, you have a lot of options. You tell me Hugh Jackson's resume, even with only winning one game in 2 years.
Yeah, he was a respected offensive mind.
That guy couldn't go be a head coach at a college program.
Sure.
Or still go make great money more than most people listening.
Work your way back into an offensive coordinator position with another team or something like that. I've been searching. I don't know if anybody knows this. I can't find if he has a job right now. His last listing was Cincinnati, like special assistant, unless he's still there.
Well, usually.
But they fired Marvin Lewis, so I wouldn't think he would still be there.
Yeah, usually like the Wikipedia quick description before you click the link will say what they're doing. Like I clicked Blair Walsh earlier.
Yeah.
And the Wikipedia said free agent kicker.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not seeing, maybe he has another job. If somebody knows that, you can text it in, but I can't find it.
It's a delicate segment and topic because I don't want to diminish being that level of sad where you're in a room for three straight days.
And it's never the case that money just cures everything.
Exactly. And it's a delicate thing, but I think there's also a bright side to some of these stories that it's like,
have some perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a step back.
Well, if you want to laugh, go look up his foundation's logo because it's the worst thing of all time.
Hugh Jackson?
Is it really?
Unless he's changed it, it is horrifying.
Oh. That's weird.
Whoa. It looks like two people holding a...
like a child, swinging a child between their arms?
But like a child ghost.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tail.
Because it's got a tail and not legs, yeah.
That's a really bad logo.
Yeah.
Why are there dots on top of the eyes?
Yeah, that's a great question.
it's a capital A, or not an eyes.
No, it's a capital A.
I'm going to go ahead and give you guys
capital
a lot of credit for viewing a child being held between two arms.
Isn't that what kind of...
It looks like,
can you see that now we say it?
It looks like a coat,
so
a ghost.
It's a capital H. I'll paint the picture because it's a terrible radio. It's a capital H with a lowercase j in between it, but the capital H has two dots on top of it, so there's three dots.
Yeah, because it's
a lowercase
it's supposed
j.
to be three people.
Three people.
Two adults and one kid is my assumption, but it doesn't look like they're holding his hands. It looks like something bad.
Oh, my God, you're going sexual, aren't you?
That's the first thought you have.
Well, not for
me. Well, not for you, saint.
Mike,
you've been corrupted. You've been doing too many club hours. You've been corrupted.
Well, there you go. Okay,
I naturally assumed that was a child. My mind didn't go there.
Well, I mean, that is what it probably is.
Because it says Michelle and Hugh, so it's probably a kid thing of some sort.
So there you go, some hot Hugh Jackson talk.
Oh, it's human trafficking.
Yeah, he's combating human trafficking. So
that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Just change your logo.
Just change your logo.
He could have just gone home and dove right into the foundation.
Right. Use your money and dive it into that kind of stuff. So he says he laid in a dark room for 3 days, and he said his 3-36-1 record was is currently on his tombstone. So I found that interesting. Okay, let's take a look inside Mike's bag of plums. What has he got in there today? We'll find out next on The Fam.
I go, oh, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're a big jerk over there.
Our
big jerk.
Soda pop thing, too, also has kind of taken off on Twitter a little bit.
It has.
We got some
a lot of soda votes, Dirt.
Yeah.
No, I know. I get that. My argument wasn't that more people call it pop than soda. My argument was Oregonians call it pop.
Yeah.
Because I loved the people, by the way, that were like, you dumbass, Oregonians all call it soda.
But we had the opposite, though, too.
We did. It's like, well,
hey, dumbass, it's called pop.
I'm 30 years old. I was born in Oregon, and I've lived in Oregon my entire life. So do I not count in this for something? Yeah, I felt like more Oregonians use pop than soda. That was my argument. I think universally soda is more used than pop.
It's strange to me of two guys who can grow up in the same city and probably 9 miles apart from where we lived. Didn't know each other at all. Same city, and it's pop to you, and it's soda for me.
It is, yeah.
You tell me why you have pop, and I can tell you a story about when my cousin moved from Oklahoma to Portland. He cried for an hour because we made fun of him for calling it pop, and we had never really heard people go, you got any pop?
Right.
I'm like, what? You mean soda?
Yeah. So there you go. We just had back-to-back texts. 32-year-old lifelong Oregonian. Everyone I know says soda. Next one, lifelong Oregonian. It's pop. Okay.
It's a direct split.
It is a direct split.
Everyone is so I'm from Oregon, and this is how it's said, and yet everyone's saying the different things.
And then in Jersey,
it's soda.
You think it's soda?
Oh, nobody says pop. It's soda.
Yeah, East Coast, there's no existence of pop.
Northeast, it is soda.
Yeah.
I know in the Midwest, like from my family in Oklahoma, they call it pop.
Yeah, Minnesota, pop, yeah.
And then we can all come back to the people that are idiots that call it Coke, because No. You're wrong.
That's not a real thing.
That is a thing
in
the South.
It's a real thing in the South.
Like, I know it's real, but
it's a thing.
It's not a real thing here.
No, nobody does it here. When you go to the Southeast, I'm legitimately, my brother lives in North Carolina, and we'll go out to, you go out to dinner or something. You sit down at a restaurant. The waiter will come up and say, you want a Coke? Can I get you a Coke? And I'll usually say, like, if I'm in the mood for one, like, yeah, sure.
But you're assuming he's bringing back Coca-Cola.
No, then they respond, what kind?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what?
Well, then my assumption would be like cherry Coke or vanilla Coke.
Yeah, Diet Coke, Coke Zero. What kind of Coke do you got?
Caffeine free.
I've dealt with this at a restaurant where somebody goes, can I get something to drink for you? And me or my wife or somebody will go, can I have a Coke? You know, like actually Coca-Cola. And the waiter will respond or the waitress will respond, well, all we have is Pepsi. Is that okay? And then it's like a yes or no answer. It's not right. A confusion of like what type. It's we either have Coke or you have Pepsi because everybody has one or the other of that.
Yeah, universally calling it Coke is just dumb.
This again proves my original
one brand.
One of my first hot takes on the radio station was a hit on Isaac and Suk. And I told them everybody has a favorite something. No matter what the product is, you always end up picking one or the other. That doesn't mean you buy it every time, but Coke or Pepsi.
I think it's a valid point, too. Somebody said it might have to do with where your parents are from. My parents are from the Midwest. They call it pop. I've been in Oregon for 53 years. It's always been pop to me. That's valid, too. It could be where your parents are from.
Is your mom from Nebraska?
From Nebraska, yeah. So I probably grew up in a pop household, you know? Okay, well, we already ate up the entire segment, but what do we got in Mike's bag of plums today?
Well, it's kind of related, sort of.
Okay.
This is something that's been kind of at the top of my head recently because I've been seeing news stories and Instagram pictures and Facebook pictures with this constantly. White Claw.
Yeah.
Hard seltzer.
Came to the right show for this topic.
Oh God, don't even get Sprague started on
this. Ain't no laws when you claw.
I've seen that a lot too. You're
damn
so
right.
I've never had a White Claw. Not because I'm opposed to having one, just I drink craft beer. That's kind of what my go-to is, and I do that.
We need Here's to break podcast your dropping virginity today, by on the way. This.
But my question is this. Why did that become so popular, White Claw itself? And do you think it will last? Or do you think it will go the way of like Four Loko and be popular for 3 years and then completely vanish?
No, see, Four Loko is different because it killed people.
Yeah.
Well, then they fixed it to stop killing people.
And then nobody trusted it because it wasn't the same level of energy.
I'm just thinking of other drinks with alcohol in them that are fad drinks.
It was like in the 90s when Jack in the Box killed a guy with salmonella and people stopped going to Jack in the Box because they didn't trust Jack in the Box.
Or Chipotle with E. coli.
Right. Right.
Although, do people stop going to Chipotle? I have no idea. I didn't.
here's my thinking on it.
That was the best time at Chipotle because there were no lines.
Yep.
Burrito and White Claw all together. Let's go.
My opinion on the White Claw thing is it's a combination. I don't think there's one in particular. One, they hit the right brand.
Do they taste good?
They do. Black cherry's really good. The ruby grapefruit one was meh. Black cherry's good. Mango's good. What you need to do to market in this country to be successful, in my opinion, is you have to hit the moms and the female demographic. When you hit that, there's an explosion unlike any other. You also really hit at the right time. It's summer. It's hot. We want refreshing, but we want it spiked. Well, I don't want to make a cocktail. I'm too lazy. I don't want to drink one of the other light beers. I don't like that taste. Let's give you a tasty beverage that has 5% alcohol. The can's perfectly able to, you know, transport it however you want, golf cart, boat, what have you. And it's not too pricey.
I think the thing for me that sticks out is it's hard seltzer, which means that it's what, zero calories?
Basically,
so
yeah.
For the
no
moms,
sugar, no carbs,
moms
the
and the females
fat.
Who are trying to keep their figure tight. They don't need to have...
You trying to keep your figure tight over there? Is that why you're doing this, Mom?
You can't legally tell me to lose weight, so you just got to keep it tight.
Yeah, keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
So instead of having a 90-plus calorie beer, you're having a zero-calorie hard seltzer.
And it can be the same buzz as a beer would.
And you can have 10 of them and not feel guilty.
You'll right.
Be really drunk, but you won't feel guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially new Zima.
That is true.
Well, but somebody else asked me, too, because Truly, I believe, came out just before... But I never tried Truly. I tried White Claw first.
It took off. It became a fad, and you had FOMO.
But why did Truly not blow up, but White Claw did?
Just didn't get the same
marketing.
Bub. And yeah, marketing.
And Truly is still famous, by the way. They're at Costco. Like, I'm sure they do really well
in
sales.
Yeah, they're all
there's
over
the
place.
Ton of spiked seltzer brands
right,
out there.
Yeah, Natty Ice is coming out with one. But
so
if, you were,
Four Loko,
if you were to power rank them, you would put White Claw number one, wouldn't you?
In terms of popularity, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that I've seen the most out there. Now, my wife has had Truly in the fridge, and I recognize that just from her having it. She's not had White Claw. But in terms of, like, social media marketing pull, White Claw is all I see.
Did you try the Truly?
Yes.
Then you've tried a White Claw. They are the same thing.
To me, it's like a somewhat flavorful seltzer that gets the job done, but not that good. That's my official thought on it.
Yeah, I think it's they have the right storm right now of good publicity, good advertising. There's a buzz around the product, right? That speaks to the fad that Mike was talking about. There's a buzz around the product. And people want things that they feel like are good for them. Like, you want to have that concept when you're consuming it that it's healthy for you. And I think that's the big, it tastes good, whatever, it's light, and hey, zero calories. All right, I'm not putting on any extra pounds here.
Well, and Deal says it's 100 calories in a White Claw. Calories, not the right one. I'm thinking carbs.
Oh, okay.
I think there's like 2 grams of carbs on
so
a can.
So Sprague looks at the carbs, he's skinny. Yeah, makes sense.
Somebody said, I love
was
how
looking
we're...
at the health benefits.
I love how we're skinny shaming him today. This is a good turn of events. Thank you, Mike.
I had a listener that... he hit me up on Instagram, and he always enjoyed the White Claw combo we had. He ended up trying it and admitting that, yeah, it was delicious.
Somebody said White Claw hit the right demographic, white women in Sprague.
Yep.
It's very
that was
true.
What I was about
very,
to read.
Very true. All we care about is our figure.
It's fabulous.
You girls got your White Claws. Let's claw it up, ladies.
Ain't no laws.
I might go as a White Claw can for Halloween.
You should, actually. That'd be really funny.
It'll be one really of 900 funny. In the city.
Yeah,
it'll be all over the place. So you going to try one, Mike?
Sure, if it's presented to me. I'm not going to buy one.
I'm not
going to
buy some claws.
But if there's a claw...
I got some claws in the garage. The fiancé bought them.
If there's a claw presented to me, I will try it. Sure.
You don't partake with the fiancé?
No, I'm not. I don't like sparkling water, soda, seltzer, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that taste. I don't like it. Like LaCroix. It's
LaCroix.
The grossest thing on the planet.
Yeah, LaCroix is disgusting.
It is awful. And that's
I like
what
seltzer
I feel like.
And it's disgusting.
I feel like it's that with booze. And it's like, all right, cool, there's booze in there. But that flavor is awful.
LaCroix is good when you spike it. That's about it.
My favorite thing about LaCroix is LaCroix tastes like when your friend yells across the room, watermelon, and you go, oh, that kind of tastes like watermelon. It's so mild and unflavorful that you need someone else to suggest the flavor to you.
Oh, that's right.
What'd you get?
Blueberries? There you go. All right, Mike's bag of plums. That's the last one.
We have, hold on. Dude, stop talking about White Claws. I'm a distributor merchandiser for Columbia. I have to stop that ass.
Quit pubbing them, all right? Come on. All right. Well, I'm hoping in the next segment we're going to have our spicy chicken challenge courtesy of the Popeye chicken sandwich.
White Claw equals party water.
Party water. That's a good way to put it. Party water. So if we don't have the Popeyes in time, I do have a story about how some scientists have come up with a new way that the world's going to end. So there's an uplifter for you. Also, we are idiots. Idiots, I tell you. I'll tell you why. Next, first, here's Mike with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. 135, or 235, excuse me. Sorry, I'm so distracted because it smells like Popeyes in the studio.
Game changer. Dude, cover me in maple syrup and spank me. Let's
yes.
go.
Yes. We got Popeyes, baby.
Dude, this smells delightful.
Mike, can you turn Nepper's mic on? Do we have that one available? Nepper, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
Talking?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
We got you. Yeah, Nepper's on. Okay. Okay, so here, if you don't know what's happening, there's this big spicy chicken sandwich. It's like taking the world by storm that Popeyes announced. And like places are running out of chicken. People are freaking out. We actually had some audio for this. So we're going to take bites and try this.
Yes.
And while we do, I want to start with Mike. We'll play the first one, the guy that tastes the sandwich. This is a dude. I think they're just filming him at home.
It's somebody's dad had just tried the Popeyes sandwich. And yeah.
And here he is.
And the tears from my sweat and my tears taste like chicken. They got a pickle on that chicken sandwich. They got a pickle. Listen to me. They got a pickle on the chicken sandwich that tastes like chicken. The pickle tastes like chicken. You hear me? It's a buttermilk bread.
It's hard not to drink.
It's buttermilk bread. And the bread is so soft that it just melts in your mouth.
So that's a pretty solid review. What do we think one bite in? How are we feeling?
Man, I'm two bites in. And I got to be honest, man. I love Chick-fil-A. They might have done it. They might have got them.
What kind of sauce are we working with here?
It's like a spicy aioli of some sort. This chicken is perfectly cooked. It's juicy. It's crispy. The spice sauce isn't overwhelming. The pickle, he is right. It tastes like chicken, but it gives you a pickled feel.
Just a hint of dill in there. Just a hint.
This is a really good sandwich.
I'm not going to lie. It's delicious.
It is.
This is a delicious sandwich.
It is.
I'm a big fan. There's also, I want to get to this. There's a news report. So this, do we remember where this happened?
I don't know what city this is in. I know it's on a Fox affiliate of some sort.
Okay, so there's a Fox affiliate. And this was, so we had the report today in Aloha. They ran out of chicken.
That's what somebody texted the show.
We had a listener say they ran out of chicken. So this apparently happened in another place. A news camera showed up and people weren't happy about it.
The Popeyes on Lake Avenue was closed by dinner time.
Are you kidding me?
I think that's bad because I'm sure hungry.
No chicken.
No chicken? They just out of chicken.
I said I'm calling customer service now to see where there's another Popeyes at.
Yeah, they seem to be out of chicken today, so I'll just pick up a pizza. It's no big deal.
I don't want to be the guy, but
that
I'm going to do
like
it.
A fake human being. At
it
the
does,
end.
Right? That's an actual part of that news story. That was not spliced in there.
If you see him too, Mike, you're going to think he's even faker if you see him. He's wearing a sweater.
He is.
A nice collared shirt out of it.
Like kind of a comb over haircut.
A comb over haircut with glasses, and he's in an SUV. And it's a nice, fun game of spot the white guy in the clip.
You know, it's okay. I'll just go get a pizza on my way home.
Everybody else is mad, and then here comes the white guy.
Well, it turns out they're out. I'm just going to go pick up a pizza. No big deal.
Which is funny because I kind of view myself as that kind of guy. And if I'm in the drive-thru trying to get a chicken sandwich and they came up to me and said, hey, there's no more chicken. How do you feel? I'd say the same thing. I mean, I wanted chicken, but I'll grab a pizza or something on my way home.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been devastated. You have to audible.
All right, so let's grade it. Nepper, you can grade as well. 1 out of 10.
Have you had Chick-fil-A, Nepper?
Yeah, here's the thing. I have not actually ever been to a Chick-fil-A.
You've never been to a Chick-fil-A?
Never.
Really?
So you've never tasted a sandwich?
Yeah. Wow. Well, not yeah.
Wow.
Same as me.
And Mike's never been
either. A lot of the polls include the Wendy's chicken sandwich, I've noticed.
Wendy's is okay.
Yeah. Wendy's got a decent spicy chicken sandwich. So, yeah, it's not bad. So, what's our grade here?
I mean, if I'm ranking it against Chick-fil-A, this particular one, maybe consistency Chick-fil-A wins, but this sandwich, it beats it. The spicy sauce is perfect. My bread isn't too soggy. The pickle has a chicken flavor with, just as you mentioned, a hint of the dill.
Just a hint of the dill.
And the chicken is cooked perfectly. It's juicy. It's crunchy on the outside. It's exactly why I love Popeyes better than any other fast food chicken chain. They've hit a home run with this one. I get the hype. I understand it.
I feel like the listeners are right. You had to get spicy.
Had to get spicy.
I think if this was a non-spicy chicken sandwich, it'd be good. But not having that like kick probably in the sauce and in the chicken, it would weigh it down a little bit for me.
I did pick up the non-spicy chicken sandwich for Bree. She does. I can say they were out. You know, we can try the non-spicy.
What if she's just so pissed? This thing sucks. This is awful. I'm gonna go with like an A minus. I'll give it an A minus.
How does it stack up for you?
In terms of other fast food items?
Well, no. This is the only competition that matters is the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
It's better than the chicken.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Welcome back in, 247. They said, just texted the fiance, we're getting Popeyes for dinner.
Well, you made the right decision, I'll tell you that much. If you're cool doing fast food, and it's a night that you just do not feel like cooking anything, boy, let them save you with that chicken sandwich.
Yeah, and that was good. A listener earlier said, we should try a fast food taste item every week.
Ooh. I just saw a Taco Bell triple decker Crunchwrap.
Ooh.
And I said, oh, God.
Tickle me intrigued.
You're going to get Brandon Sprague driving home at 12:30.
Nom, nom, nom. So that was a lot of fun. The Popeyes Taste Challenge. Thanks again to Nepper for picking those bad boys up for us. Quickly, let's get to this. We are idiots, gentlemen. Did you know that?
I've known that from the start.
You're pretty big idiots over here, you know? So yesterday, my final segment was 1:45. I had to drive down to Eugene to do a duck thing last night from 6 to 8. Hope you listened and enjoyed it. But the final segment that I did on the show was joking about how we should throw money on the largest underdog in the history of Major League Baseball. This was my idea. I got into the office yesterday. I saw this number, and I said, why don't we put some money on this thing? We all eventually, you know, decided, it's not worth it. Don't do it. That's dumb. They're going to lose.
Well, we were going too cheap was our problem. If we would have sacked up and said, hey, Dirt, put in 50, I'll put in 50, let's put a hundo, we would have won $200.
The Tigers last night were the largest underdog in the last 15 years of Major League Baseball against the Astros. They were a plus 400 at Caesars. The Tigers beat the Astros 2-1.
Of course they did. I was paying close attention to that game after the conversation.
Too, right?
And I saw 1-0 in the sixth, and I went, the Tigers are going to win this game. And they did.
They did. Isn't that wild?
How is
that's baseball, Susan.
That is.
Yeah, I don't get to listen to every segment of every show that we have. How is Isaac's underdog betting going? Has he updated that?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't think he's updated it, no.
Okay, I just saw him in the hall. I didn't think about this till you brought that story up. But if he comes in early, I want to know how him and his buddies are doing on that.
Yeah, because this is, we mentioned it yesterday on the show. So Detroit was the largest underdog in the last 15 years. But this just happened like 2 weeks ago again with Houston. They were playing Baltimore, and they were like a minus 485 favorite over Baltimore. And it was a headline then, like, Astros is going to be one of the largest favorites in baseball in a long time. And the Astros lost that game. Baltimore walked them off and beat them. So it happened again last night. So the next time we see one of these, I'll have to look at Houston's upcoming schedule or maybe the other candidates that it might be. Maybe if the Dodgers play somebody that's just a total bottom feeder.
Well, I tell you what, if the Dodgers or anybody else, I'm not betting. If the Houston Astros are involved, I'm now officially always betting the big underdog.
I thought that was pretty funny. One other note, by the way, out of this game. So it was Verlander on the hill, and he took the loss, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he gave up. He was still in the ninth and gave up the home run that wound up giving the Tigers the run.
He got butt hurt last night, too.
So he did. That was the other story. So remember, I mean, he was obviously in Detroit for a long time as a pitcher. Well, last night there was a story where he blocked a media member from entering the Astros clubhouse, and he had security standing in front of the door. And
how is this allowed?
Right, this is a story that went viral. Well, it's actually not. It's against the CBA. You're not supposed to be able to do it, and the Astros security went along with it because he requested it. He then went to Twitter today and to try and explain it. He said, I declined to speak with the Detroit Free Press rep last night because of his unethical behavior in the past. I reached out to them multiple times before the game to notify them why and to give them an opportunity to have someone else there. Ironically, they didn't answer, although I tried to avoid the situation altogether. I've reached out to them multiple times today with no response. They're still not interested in my side of the story. The editor of that newspaper took that tweet, responded, and said, I would like to know who you contacted to tell your side of the story because my reporter has not heard from you, nor have I. My email's right here. I'd be happy to speak with you.
Verlander seems a little douchey. I don't know if this is breaking news, but he comes off as this guy that he's got a Roethlisberger quality to him, to me. I don't know how to put it any other way than that. The personality type, in terms of how they talk about certain things, it kind of reminds me of how Ben Roethlisberger approaches things. Hmm. And by the way, the editor's calling, like, if you called somebody and you're Justin Verlander,
they're going to talk to you.
Yeah, nobody's avoiding you to find out your side of it. Like, also, this is what I mean, is Roethlisberger will throw an interception. He'll do his radio hit on Monday and go, you know, they didn't have a play ready for me. I had to just improvise. Okay, great. Way to point the finger at somebody else. Verlander's doing the same thing here.
Yeah, I didn't like the guy. I didn't want to talk to him. Just own up to it.
Well, and then I reached out to tell him my side of things, and he didn't respond. It's like, well, actually, you didn't. That's a lie.
Because the editor of the paper said so. This is against this collective bargaining agreement. Major League Baseball released a statement on it. It said, per our club media regulations, the reporter should have been allowed to enter the clubhouse post-game at the time, as with other media members. We have communicated this to the Astros. The head of the BBWAA release a response as well, saying this action by the Astros violated the MLB club media regulations, which are laid out in the collective bargaining agreement. So you can choose to not answer questions from anybody you want to, but you can't bar somebody from entering the clubhouse, which is what Verlander had the Astros do last night. So that was an interesting outcome to the game that we should have gambled on. And if we would have had the balls to do it, we would have won a lot of money last night.
Let's stop being scared. Football season, our mantra during football season is, don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Loving the dogs. Give me the dogs. Take the dogs.
Dog Johnson.
All over the dogs. Baby.
You are
down
Dog
$2,000.
Johnson.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. By the way, I might bark with the dog on Saturday at 4:30.
Boop, boop. What do you mean?
Miami.
Oh, are you going to? You going to lay some coin?
Let me look up what that line is.
I should probably get my pick in. I'm not here tomorrow.
No, you're not taking my segment. I'm going to spread the line for you.
I can't give my pick.
You can make your pick if you want. Let me pull. I'm going to try and pull up that lineup.
That was the
quick.
Most. I don't really care if you do a pick.
Yeah. Hey, whatever.
Shut up.
Get the hell out of here. Go run the hood to coast, okay? football, NFL preseason. Hold on. I'm trying to find this. Canadian football. You can gamble on that, too.
Florida
apparently.
Is a 7.5-point favorite against Miami. I'll take Miami plus the 7.5. Rough.
I think you're going to be feeling that Popeye's chicken sandwich during the hood to coast tomorrow there, Spank.
No, I'm supposed to carb up today. Usually carbs up big time on the dinner.
It's a good idea, Michael Scott. Go eat some fettuccine Alfredo. Tape your nipples. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Am I going to quit and sit on the side of the road with drastic cotton mouth, not drink any water, start crying? Toby Flenderson's going to pass me.
Are we barking with the dogs with Hawaii tomorrow night, too?
11.
Or not tomorrow night, but Saturday night, sorry.
11's a lot of points.
Hawaii's an 11-point dog.
I think Arizona's going to blow. I think Arizona has to prove a point in their first two games based on what happened to them last year. I'll take Arizona in the 11, and I'll take Miami plus the 7.5.
I'd take that over in the Arizona-Hawaii game, too.
I'll 74. Take the over.
Yeah. That thing's going to be a shootout.
For sure.
So, hey, have you done your underdog betting thing all year?
This is Rot, by the way.
Cashed.
You cashed out?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't work?
Go well?
No, it was terrible.
Oh.
Yeah,
can you just...
Here, lean in.
Can we do like a mini crosstalk for like 20 seconds? Yeah.
Hello, Mom?
Hello, hey,
it's crosstalk, guys.
Am I on the radio?
Crosstalk, yes. Isaac Robb.
Could I say hi to my mom?
Yeah.
My dad?
Big fan.
My brother.
First time caller, long time listener.
They are P1s of our show, so
love the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, no, we did that. I've got a whole update coming because a lot of listeners asked. They want to know.
I hadn't heard one in a while.
Well, I haven't given one. I'm waiting.
Okay.
But I do have that segment coming, and I'll just tell you, it was a disaster.
It was a bloodbath.
An absolute disaster. As a matter of fact, we aborted that. So what are we, late August?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was... I don't even think we made it to June.
Wow. You pulled the shoot that early.
Yeah,
Two months, huh?
And I'll explain it when we go into it on the segment.
Yeah.
But there was some, there were trends that were occurring that weren't going to get better. Like it was not,
okay.
It just wasn't as advertised. And I'll explain the whole thing when we do it.
Okay.
I don't just know when we're going to get to it.
Yeah. As a degenerate, yeah. I loved the idea.
I did too. Yeah. Didn't it sound good?
It made great sense. Yeah. It really did.
There's so many games. Yeah. It is not great.
Okay. Hey, is it pop or soda?
Oh. Well, I heard you guys talking about this. I'm from the Midwest.
And it is?
So it's pop.
Thank you.
But I now say soda because I no longer live in the Midwest.
Oh, okay. You've adapted.
Yeah. And you, Dirt, were you the one saying that you think it's pop here?
I do, yeah.
See, I feel like it's been
Ask him where his mom's from.
It's all the Californians that moved here. They've changed our state. Build a wall.
His mom's from Nebraska.
Build a wall. His mom's from Nebraska, so
it's a Midwestern
family thing. Yeah.
So she said it.
She probably
did
when I was
like
a kid.
But I feel like in Oregon in general, it's soda.
Right.
68% of people went with soda today. It's all right. 68% of you can be wrong.
Sorry I couldn't 69 you on that one.
Hey, yeah, that would have been fun. Hey, have fun with the Hood Coast this weekend.
Yeah. Hopefully my foot doesn't fall off.
Enjoy the run.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good solo show tomorrow.
I will.
I'll see you Monday.
I will. Yeah, Sprague's out tomorrow. He's running the Hood to Coast. Mike's with me, though. We'll have some fun. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.